This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's Radio Free Radio.
Toronto's Regent Park is Canada's largest and oldest social housing project. In the last few years, this area east of downtown has undergone a massive redevelopment. The city's Regent Park revitalization plan will take many years and phases to complete. 24-year-old U of T student Aisha grew up in Regent and continues to live there, not knowing when her family will have to relocate.
Well, they were having community meetings. I found them to be really confusing. You always think that you're going to find out like one thing and they tell you something else. Another thing that's been really a bit irritating, as they've been continuously changing their ideas and their plans. My area was supposed to be part of like phase 7, then they bumped it up to phase 2, and then they bumped it down to phase 4, and I'm not particularly sure what phase we're in right now. And they keep changing it. Every time you talk to them, they're always like, oh, this section's going to come down in like March, and then it's, you know, as you approach January, then you find out it's going to be in August, and then, you know, oh, it's next year, and then it's next spring, next fall. So they've never been, I mean, I understand in construction it's hard to pinpoint a particular time, but it's frustrating for the people that are living there not to know where they're going to be in a couple of months or where they're going to be a year from now.
Liz Root is Toronto Community Housing's project director for the revitalization. Root says residents are consulted throughout the process.
The community of Regent Park has been involved every step of the way. Through the planning process, well over 2,000 residents in this community participated, and they gave us their ideas about what the vision was. And what they told us was it's about replace the housing, which was well over 50 years old and it not meeting the needs of the community that lived here. But they also said as part of that, you know, reintegrate us into the surrounding neighborhood. All the streets that had been cut off in the 1940s and 50s with the original redevelopment essentially had isolated this community for many, many years.
Aisha's family doesn't look forward to leaving the place they've called home for so long, at an uncertain time in the future.
It's hard to discuss because you might have a plan, but it's only going to work within the next few months and you don't know when it's going to be breaking down. So it's kind of hard to have a solid plan. I think my parents probably would like to come back to the buildings once they're rebuilt. For us, it's just been 18 years. Some of these people have been here for like 20, 25 years. And that's like a long time to be in one place. And you build a lot of social relationships and really strong bonds and stuff. And I know when you move, you can still keep in touch with, you know, a telephone and whatnot. But I think it's not the same as, you know, you cross the street and your friend's house is right there.
The committee set up to represent residents is the Regent Park Neighborhood Initiative. Led by longtime resident Neil Clark, this group supports the effort to build new housing.
The reason why it's actually being torn down is because through successive governments and successive property management people in Metro Housing and Ontario Housing, which merged into Toronto Community Housing, the places were not properly maintained, and I believe they figured out it was cheaper to tear it down and start over than it was to actually try and fix it.
But Aisha is skeptical about the city's motives of building market condominiums in an area where rent geared to income is needed.
The buildings that are currently there, they are, like, you know, disintegrating at a really fast rate. Also because Toronto Community Housing has kind of stopped upkeeping them as much, also because they know that they're breaking down soon. So that's led to their degeneration a lot faster. They did definitely need to be replaced. How they're being replaced, I'm not sure I entirely agree with, just because I know that they're cutting down the number of social housing units as well. So they're decreasing the number of social housing units, which I don't agree with, because I think social housing is something that our community really needs. And decreasing the units is positive, you know, outcomes for anybody.
Former Toronto Mayor John Sewell once represented Regent Park at council. Sewell is still very active there and helped form a plan that focused on more social units.
When I was working with residents there, they made it very clear, we don't want any redevelopment unless there's more affordable housing than there is now. And the city just said, sorry, not going to do that. I think there's 2,200 units of affordable housing in Regent Park, or there were before redevelopment began. And once it's finished, there'll be 1,500. So it's a reduction of about a third in the amount of affordable housing. In a place like Toronto, you know, where we have a waiting list for affordable housing of 70,000 families, this, in my opinion, is just the wrong thing to do.
Root believes their approach of creating a mixed income community will make Regent Park a desirable place for anyone to live.
The great thing about what's happening with the revitalization is, in addition to replacing 2,083 social housing units, which were built in the 1940s, so very old, very outdated, energy efficiency, well, non-existent, we are also adding about 700 what we call affordable rental. And so those will be 700 net additional affordable rental units in the East Downtown that didn't exist before that are being created in conjunction with this project. So we're replacing old stock and we're building additional new.
And Aisha can tell how things will turn out in Regent because of what's already happened in the surrounding area.
It is extremely valuable land that is, I think other people would see it as being wasted, and it's extremely, you know, the market value of that land is just through the roof. From what I've looked at the plan, it seems to me like condominiums and the private housing is going to be mostly on the edges and the social housing is going to be in the middle. So to me, that's kind of like Cabbage Town and Regent Park at the moment. The only difference is you're condensing the social housing from whereas it used to cover a wider range of space, now it's just more condensed.
Clark sees this revitalization making Regent Park a safe and friendly neighborhood in Toronto.
The whole idea is to make it like any other neighborhood where you can't tell who has money and who doesn't have money. And the neighborhood I grew up in, you didn't know who owned and who rented and all the rest. So it's really, the idea is to make it like any other neighborhood and take the stigma away from living in what a lot of people consider the ghetto.
This stigma, mentioned by Clark, relates to the high levels of poverty and crime associated with Regent Park. However, Sewell mentions that this was due to poor planning on the city's part during the original development.
The crime is caused almost entirely by the way it's designed. If you designed it intelligently, then, sorry, you're always going to have crime. There's crime in Rosedale. There's crime in Forest Hill. But the point is that it's much more managed if you've designed things in appropriate ways. I mean, you know, if you go just north of Girard Street, just north of Regent Park, you're into 19th century houses. There's not a great deal of street crime in that area, and it's simply because of the way you design things. So I think the redesign of Regent is going to help to reduce crime.
The dramatic change taking place around her makes Aisha realize that many people are going to miss the old Regent Park and its strong social dynamic.
When they were breaking down the building in the first phase, I wasn't the only one. I know a lot of people, like of my friends and stuff and acquaintances, everybody felt that little bit of sadness knowing like, oh, that was the park that I used to play, you know, that was the, you know, the road I used to go down when I'd go to school and whatnot. And just to see all that being broken down, it just kind of, I don't know, people don't like change, but it just saddens you a bit on the inside. But I mean, you know it has to happen, and it will eventually, but it's just a bit saddening.
In Regent Park, Toronto, I'm Adam Bema.